Folks, if you have your Bible, would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 10? Second Timothy 3:10. The apostle says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me." I want to call your attention to one part of all of this. Is verse 10. It says, "My manner of life." There's another way to say that: testimony. Now, people are given to talk, and they can get real carried away with talking. And it seems to be that the multiplication of words has no end. And some folks join in freely and talk. They think that's their testimony. That's not your testimony. That's not your testimony. It might be to some little starry-eyed 12-year-old that hasn't lived a while and has no idea what human nature's about. But your talk is not your testimony. Your testimony is the way you live your life. And the way you live your life is an indication of the character that's inside you, the kind of character you have. Your character is put to the test when you go through hard times. Amen. And when you're tried. Then your character is tried. Then you'll find out if you have any character. You'll find out if you have any faith, patience, endurance. If you have any mercy or long-suffering for your fellow man. You'll find out these things when you go through times like this. Now, everybody likes to stay on the mountaintop, and so would I. But you can't do it. And you don't grow on the mountaintop. You grow in the valley. And in the valley is where your character's formed. Not at ease, but when you have hard times. And it's that I'm going to call your attention to tonight. In time past, we have attempted to get loans, and we have in the church. We've got a number of loans down through the years. The fact is, we've never been turned down for a loan. We've gotten loans with this building, for example. We got a loan on this building in 1979 when we built this building and moved into it in January 1980. We got a loan. This church is listed in Dun and Bradstreet. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but what that means to someone who is in business when they see that, they say they have a sterling reputation for paying their bills. That's what that means. If you're listed in Dun and Bradstreet, enough said. You've got the loan. And that's the character of the church, which I think is very important, because the character of the church bears on your witness for Christ. It's not all the noise you make. It's the kind of witness you have in the community. Does the church pay its bills? Does it meet its obligations on time? Is it a troublemaker in this community? Temple Baptist Church has never been accused of causing trouble in this community. It's never had that in all the years I've been here. That's never been an issue. Never been an issue of this church causing trouble. So as a church, I believe Temple Baptist Church has a good reputation because it pays its bills. And it's not a troublemaker, and the doors are open, and we've fed countless people down through the years. We've fed them. People don't come to this church hungry and walk away, you know, with an empty belly. And they may come in with a handout, want $500, $1,000, $1,500. They may walk away without all that money, but we'll feed them. We'll feed them. And I think we have an obligation to do that, don't you? Well, that's the character of the church. And that's my responsibility as the pastor. I have a direct responsibility to see over the character of the church. Now, right before I came to this, I was a professional mechanic, and I had a shop down here on Broadway. I did a brake job for a preacher, and that preacher never paid me. Did a good brake job for him. He never paid me. I don't care how much he talks, the words that come out of his mouth, I will forever remember his testimony. That's his testimony. That's his testimony, not the noise he makes. It's his testimony. And that is the fact that I will forever remember that he didn't pay his bill. And down through the years, we've gone to car dealerships and here and there and so forth and so on, banks. And I cannot tell you how many times a banker has looked at me and said, "Preacher, you would be amazed at how many churches don't pay their bills." That's horrible. Let me say it again. That's horrible. Let me say it again. There's no excuse for that. Let me say, if you got to sell your building, sell it and pay your bills. Because all this preaching that you do to people and all this evangelism and all this holy stuff is a mockery to people if you don't pay your bills. The Bible says that a man who won't pay his bills or won't supply for his family is worse than an infidel, and he's denied the faith. And Scripture says if you don't work, you don't eat. Let me tell you something else, too. If you don't do something beneficial and useful with your life will rot. I want to be honest with you. You weren't put here to just sit. You got a reason for being here. When God made Adam, He put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. You got to apply, you got to be doing something. What are you doing? I mean, life is not sitting on the bank fishing all day long, 24/7, 7 days a week. You got a reason for being in this world. And so I said, well, I hate that. I said it to the banker. I said, I hate that. I said, we pay our bills. I said, check us out. And they want references, and so we give them references. And they always check us out, you know, but we've never failed to get a loan. We got a loan on those two vehicles sitting up there. One's been paid for a long time. We're about to pay the other one off probably in a year or so. And we got a loan on it, paid it off. Paid this building off, paid it off. Paid that building off, paid it off. This church doesn't owe a dime for buildings or property, not a cent. The only thing this church owes for is that one vehicle sitting up there underneath that pavilion, the big bus that we use for the senior citizens, and it'll soon be paid for. I saw on the news the other day where some churches have folded up, closed their doors, and have had to sell their property because of the economy. Well, that's bad. That is bad. But one building, for example, I saw on the news the other day, they owed something like $2.5 or $3.5 million and had 200 people in their church. And they had, of course, went belly up. Do you know what the payments on $3.5 million would be? That's a pile of money. You say, well, we need to launch out in faith. That's not faith. No, no, no. No man begins to build without first counting the cost. That's not faith. And a lot of things people think that they have to have, they really don't have to have. This is just a box. That's all it is. It's a box. So I bring people in here and say, come see our box. We've got a box, but it's paid for. We don't have beautiful chandeliers and cathedral ceilings. That building does. That building up there that's 40 feet wide has one of the most beautiful ceilings you would see anywhere. It is. It's beautiful. Huge cathedral vaulted ceiling. But this is just a box. But it's paid for. That's the point. Nobody will have a sour taste in their mouth toward Temple Baptist Church. I believe you ought to pay your bills. I believe you ought to pay your bills. And so if you abscond in your bills and run off and make bills and don't pay them and then go back and try to hand that man a tract, won't you do that? So you buy a car from somebody who won't pay him, go back to that dealer and say, here, I'd like to witness to you about the Lord. Try it. See how far you get. It happens everywhere. And a lot of people have been burned by so-called Christians. If you're down and out, flat of your back, got a problem, go tell them. I have found in my life that most people will work with you because people understand life can get hard. It can get hard. Get where you can't pay your bills. Lose your job, get sick. All kinds of problems can come on people, folks. Unforeseen things. But if you'll make an effort, people will work with you. And because you're making an effort, they realize, well, he's doing the best he can. What more can you ask of somebody? They're doing the best they can. And so that is an indication of character. That's your testimony. The way you treat each other is your testimony. When somebody's flat on their back and they're hurt and they're broke and they need help, are you the one that helps or are you the one that kicks them when they're down? You can take one of two positions or you can become indifferent. It's not the responsibility of the church to feed the world. But I wouldn't turn away any hungry soul that I know, would you? In plain words, we can't feed the world, but we will feed everybody we can. There's a little sign they have out here on the side of the interstate. It shows some poor little girl, little thing about this tall, and her head's bowed down and say, no child should have to learn how to be hungry. I can't. If I had a dollar in my pocket, I'd take it out and feed that baby right there. I can't hack that. I can't take that. Not when you can spend $10,000 for one gown to wear one time at a dance up here in the White House. Not when you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for all this junk. Don't get up and blabber in front of somebody how you care for the sick and the poor and the suffering and the hungry. Millions and millions and millions of dollars could be diverted back to the people instead of the garbage that it goes to. The governor of Mississippi just a little while ago, maybe today or yesterday, I don't know which one, Haley Barbour, the governor of Mississippi, a Republican, okay, just pardoned 200 criminals. Many of them are murderers, and turned them loose on society. And people in Mississippi are outraged, and rightly so. That's a horrendous thing for him to do. Now, I'd like to ask Mr. Barbour, I would ask him this, if I could see him face to face. I still want to ask you a question, Mr. Barbour. If they go out and murder somebody in the next 2 or 3 days or in the next week or two, will you accept the responsibility for opening the cage and turning them loose on people? There's something bad wrong, folks. People are losing it. And he's a Republican. I've been accused of being biased. I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'll tell you the truth, folks. Both sides are as sorry and low down as they can be. Just pray God will get something out of that morass that'll run for president against that thing that's up there now. Amen. Anything would beat what's in there, I guess. I'm not here tonight to defend the Republican Party, believe me. Politics is dirty and rotten and stinking and low down. It is, man. It is. And if you're a die-hard Democrat or a die-hard Republican, you're going to die hard because you got nothing to live for, believe me. Amen. Amen. So he turned them loose, so he's got 200 people out here now to worry about. If I were him, if I were Haley Barbour, hope you hear it, son, you got something to worry about. Governor or no governor? When the wicked rule, the people mourn, the Bible says. So how you treat each other is important. That's your testimony. When you see somebody down and out and they're hurting and they've got problems, do you go around babbling to other people about it, or do you get on your knees and pray for them? That's your character, folks. That's your character. When I went through boot camp in the military and got out of there and went off into infantry training and then got off my duty station, they pounded in our brain, take care of your buddy. Who's in that foxhole with you? You take care of your buddy. You take care of your buddy. You never leave your buddy out there alone. Take care of your buddy. I did. Took care of each other. But I've seen Christians turn on each other like rabid dogs. It seems like that when something happens to somebody, that it just, for some reason, it's like wolves in a pack. They go after them. Don't treat each other like that. Love each other. Bear one another's burdens. You may be the wolf right now yapping at their heel, but you may be the one bleeding in a week from now. You may be the one a month from now down flat of your back. It may be you, and you'll want every friend you can get when you need them. And it's sad. So the testimony of the Apostle Paul was his life. It's your life. That's your testimony. You don't have to tell people what you are. They know. They already know. You say, well, I got them fooled. You ain't got anybody fooled. You fooled yourself. You don't have anybody fooled. You know, it's amazing how when a person is self-deceived, that's the worst deceit there is. When you start believing your own lie, you're in trouble. They know. You remember what happened when Lot tried to warn his sons-in-laws about the impending danger? You know what they said? What's the Bible say about Lot's sons-in-laws? They thought he was mocking. So he never preached to us before about anything, setting the gate of the city. Here we are in Sodom, right in the middle of it. And now here all of a sudden you become holy and pious and you got this connection with God and something's going to happen. Why? Don't preach to us. That's exactly what they said. So when you preach to people, you got to pay a price. What do you mean? You got to get in the fishbowl. I know about the fishbowl. I know all about it. I know how the sides of the fishbowl are made. I know what the fishbowl looks like. I know what it is. I live in a fishbowl. And you got to know how to live in a pressure cooker. A fishbowl, it's a pressure cooker. I'm not complaining. That's my calling. I wouldn't know what to do if I wasn't doing what I'm doing.
Amen.
I wouldn't. Oh, I go back and make a living. I still got my tools. I've got all those Snap-on tools I bought 35, 40 years ago and paid an arm and a leg for. I got all that stuff. I could go back and probably scratch around out here somewhere and make a little bit, but that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to preach.
Amen.
So that's the way it is. But now, I've seen young men come out of this church, and I've seen them go drug off into ministries and places, and I see them out of church right now tonight. And I'm not going to mention any names, but I've talked to them and I've prayed with them, and they're hurting right now. And they were drug off into a ministry they weren't ready for personal reasons, and now they're hurting. They're hurting. They're hurting. You better be ready when you get up and start pastoring a church. You better have rhinoceros hide. I'm not complaining. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And when you start pastoring a church, there's a whole lot of stuff you just don't take seriously. I know they act like they're serious, but they're not really serious. They think they're serious, but they're not serious. They make promises and pledges and all this and that, but they won't come through. So you can't let that stop you, and you can't let it get you down. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
But they're out. They're out. They need prayer. They need prayer because they're good people. They're good men. They're good men. So you got to watch how you treat each other when you need each other. Be careful what you say. Don't talk about each other. Just leave it. Just leave it go. Leave it alone. God puts a pastor in a church, and he takes the responsibility for it. If I wasn't responsible, I wouldn't need the authority.
Right?
If I didn't have to give an account for a busload of kids, well, I'd just drive that bus any way I pleased. But if I got 55 kids on this bus, and I take it out here and wreck it and kill about half of them, whose hide do you think is going to be on the line? Mine. So I should have the responsibility. I should have the authority to turn around and say to those kids, sit down, buckle up, and shut up. Right? Exactly. You can't give a man responsibility without giving him authority. Can't have it. And so therefore God puts the pastor in a position like that, and he's responsible. The Bible said in Hebrews 13 that I watch for your souls. And I do. Believe me, I do. And I've watched how that the church has corrupted itself in the last 30 years. It is horrible, folks. It's horrendous. People come in here to temple that didn't even know we existed. And I don't know how many. We get people all the time. They say, preacher, you preach like my grandfather did. Does that bother you, preacher? No, I say hallelujah. Because their grandfather preached. I don't preach anymore, folks. The church has lost its power. It's lost its foundation. It's lost its bearings. It's lost its moorings. It's lost its compass. The preaching of the Word of God is a call, and it must be anointed. Or otherwise, it's just so much blabber. And that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. But for some reason, God has kept us here on Woodrow Drive and kept us I like to use the term anachronistic. I know it's a big word, but here's what it simply means. It means out of time. That's what it means. It means out of time of another time. Anachronism. That's what it is. And so in other words, we're out of time of another time. When they come into Temple Baptist Church, they go back, I hope, at least 50 to 75 years in time. How many would like to see that? I would. Because I've been in the modern stuff. Been in it. Does nothing for the soul. It excites your flesh. And after a while, you know how the flesh is. I've told these fellas out here with this stuff. I've told them. They won't listen. I've told them, listen, boys, you've built that church on flesh. It's all about exciting the flesh. It's all about feeding the flesh. And right now, they're jumping up and down and screaming because their flesh is getting fed, but the flesh is never satisfied. And you've got to continually excite it and give it something new and excite it and give it something new. And so what worked last year won't work this year. Get your heads together, boys. You need something else now. If you're going to have your contemporary flesh church, feel-good church, hopped-up music, Christian mosh pits, and all the rest of it, then you are at a constant loss as to what next new thing you can bring before the people and keep them pumped up in the flesh. Am I right? Better believe I am. I'm right. If the church is built on the Word of God, though, It feeds the people. It satisfies the soul. And man, like we met in here Sunday morning, all of a sudden all heaven opens and the power of God drops down on the place. And you know you're doing something right. Amen? There's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, I don't know how long I'll live. I don't know how long I'll be here. I don't know how long I'll be in this world. But I pray I treat people right. I pray my testimonies, not my words. I preached, Lord have mercy, for 35 years. Good night, man. I mean, how many times have I preached? But that's not what people remember me by. They'll remember me by the way I treat you, the way I treat people, the way I treat people that are down and out, whether I am true and faithful to what I say, and what I say is what I live. And if I don't live what I say, I'm a first-rate hypocrite. When the fellow got over there and got caught with a prostitute down there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who got on TV right before that and said that, what's his name over here in the 700, wasn't 700, PTL Club was a cancer in the body of Christ that needed to be cut out. That's what he said. He looked right in the camera and he said, he's a cancer in the body of Christ that needs to be cut out. Well, it wasn't long after that they caught him with a prostitute. Now, what is that called? Hypocrisy. The world can handle a lot out of you, but they can't stand that. Why? If you won't preach to them, okay. But when you start preaching to people, and you start handing them tracts, and you start witnessing and talking to them about their soul, you had better be living what you're preaching. Because the minute you start witnessing and testifying to people, and I'm talking about handing them tracts and all this, the very moment you do, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But the very moment you do it, they will start watching you and listening to you and waiting for an opportunity to catch you. And if they find one, they will pounce on you unmercifully. Please take that as a clear warning. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you something, because I've had that happen to me in the past. I've had people, before I got saved, witness to me, preachers, this and that, then come to find out they're some of the sorriest people on the face of the earth. That didn't help my faith any. I didn't have any to begin with, but it sure didn't help me. Amen. It took a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ to change me, and that's what it's going to take for you. Well, you pay your bills, you treat each other right. Temple Baptist Church, I believe, has a good reputation for paying its bills and for treating people right. And the church hasn't overextended itself. It hadn't gone out here and gone head over heels in debt. A few years ago, we talked about a building program. We've got a building program out here in the back. We've got $750,000 in the bank. That's a pile of money. That's earning at least a dollar a day. The interest rate we've got today, I don't know, somewhere along in there. Somewhere. But you know, the money was given with a good heart, on a good spirit, you know, good terms, to build. Are we going to build? Well, when God gets ready for us to build, I believe we can build, don't you? But it just, for some reason, he put it on hold. Now, what if a couple of years ago we'd have jumped up and gone ahead and put a building up here, and we didn't have enough money to complete the building, so we'd had to go in debt. So let's say we went in debt for $1.5 million. We'd had us a nice building sitting up there, but right now we'd have a payment. We'd be making payments on $1.5 million. You say you got $750,000. Yeah, that'll put the carpet in it and a few pews and a few things, but it will by no means. Do you know what it costs to build an auditorium up there? A huge auditorium? Do you know what it costs to build this auditorium? We built this auditorium in 1979 for I can't remember exactly, but it seems like it was $120,000 or $30,000, this auditorium. It cost that $750,000 to build it today. It cost every cent of it. But we built it and paid for it, and we're in it. So I'm looking for the Lord to come back. I'm looking for him to come back, but we got to occupy till he comes. And I believe when the time comes and the time is right, and you'll know it and I'll know it, we'll know it. If God wants us to build, when that time comes, if God wants us to build, at that time, we'll start. And he'll supply the need and he'll give us what we need. So until then, I don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Now, we've got an issue that's come up here in the church. We've got a problem right now, and I want you all to pray about it. How many of you have watched the television and have seen that announcement that I put on there? All right. Let me explain what that is, folks. We had been paying $850 a week to Fox out here for that broadcast, for that 30-minute broadcast. It cost $850. It started out a few years ago at $300 a week. So you see how it's gone up. But all of a sudden, the federal government now has come down on all of these people like us, nonprofit churches and so forth, that by January the 17th, I think is the date, that they have to have closed captioning in the broadcast. Now, that's not an easy thing. You've got to get somebody to do it because you have to have the equipment to encode it into your video. You can't just, even if you could type out all the words, you still have to be able to put it in your video so it can be played at the TV station. Well, we have to get it done. So right now we're having it done at HP Video. It's a professional video place right down here next to Greystone. The Channel 6, I think it is, home base. It's costing us $200 a week to do that. So that means, in essence, that the television ministry with Fox has gone up $200 a week from $850 a week to $1,050 a week. All right. Well, I worried about the bills. We worried about paying our bills. So much money comes in each month. I mean, you have to be a steward of the Word of God, you know. We can say, well, we're just going to step out on faith, and first thing you know, all your money's gone. All right, so we're looking at ways to handle this and what to do that needs to be done. So I thought, well, let's find out who's watching. We're on in Virginia on that television station, which is Channel 14. 14 comes on all the cables around here, just like Channel 11 does, Channel 14 does. Here's the difference. We're paying $250 a week or $275 a week for a broadcast as opposed to $1,050. See what I mean? See the difference? So I have to find out who's watching this television ministry and where they are and what time they're watching. And that's why you saw that on TV. Now, if you're coming to Temple Baptist Church, you really don't need to call in. And we know it's okay. It's good that you're watching, but we're trying to reach out here and find out in this area, especially here in Knoxville, who we're reaching. All right, so we did this last Sunday. We ran it. And 1 minute after 8, it runs at 8 o'clock. The service starts at 8 o'clock on the television. At 1 minute after 8, the phone started ringing up here. And it has a capacity of 99 phone calls. It filled up just like that. 99 phone calls filled up just like that. So Edna had to go up there and take all that stuff off of it and get the information and then erase it. And then it started filling up again. People started sending emails. Some people have even mailed letters that they're watching the broadcast, and we're getting response from everywhere, all the way from Sweetwater into Kentucky, and everywhere. People are watching the broadcast. Tonight at 10 o'clock, we will be on Channel 14, the station in Virginia. We'll come on at 10 o'clock tonight, and I'm going to do the same thing on that channel. I want to see who's watching to get a response from these people. Find out. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this to try to make an accurate assessment of is it worth it to spend $1,050 a week for that broadcast when I can get the same thing. Because next Sunday morning, we'll be on at 8:30 on Channel 14 on Sunday morning. All they have to do is flip three numbers over, and they'll pick up the same message. That's $275 a week. $275 a week for Channel 14, $1,050 a week for Channel 11. Now, on the face of it, on the surface of it, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous. I don't want to just act out of emotion. I want to be fair, and I want to do it because God's in it. I want to make sure this is the way He would do it, to be a wise steward of His money. So I'm going to do this for about 3 or 4 weeks. Give people plenty of time. They may not be here this week. Give them time, come back next week, what have you. And give them an opportunity to see any of these broadcasts and find out. I don't want their name. All I want to know is, where you are and what time you're watching it. If they tell me what time, I know exactly what station they're watching it on. That's all we need to know. Would you all pray about it? That's a big deal. That's a big burden on me. I'm carrying that around with me now. That's a burden, because that's God's money, and I don't want to. But you see, God has blessed TV, folks. Good night, man. I mean, we've had people saved. And the internet, something else altogether, but it doesn't cost anywhere near that. But the internet, the prayer page on the internet, on our web page, our prayer page has exploded. For a while there, I'd get two or three prayer requests maybe over a couple of days period, and then I'd go a day or two, 3 days, 4 days, not even get anything. Now I'm getting two and three a day, and sometimes I'm getting five and six a day. And the prayer page has just exploded. And I think a lot of it is that people are finding out about us on the internet from a brother up in Ohio. His name is Travis, and he's got us all over the internet. And they're finding out about us. And folks, when you get home, why don't you get on the prayer page and read what some of those people say? Read some of their prayer requests. Read, and they've got some testimonies too. Read what some of these people are saying, what God's delivered them from. And Temple Baptist Church, us folks, you, when you put your money in that plate, we couldn't be that ministry wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you. When you put your money in that plate, you are directly supporting the internet that's reaching people, and television that's reaching people, and the radio that's reaching people. I believe in foreign missions. We support, 30 of them? But I also believe right here in good old Knoxville, Tennessee, we need them here, and folks are watching. They are watching. They are watching. Yes, sir. You mean the station in Abingdon, Virginia? Living Faith? We're not on Trinity. We're not on the Knoxville Religious Broadcasters anymore. It's not 14 there? You can't get Living Faith? Well, see, I get mail from people up in there that watch Living Faith. I don't know if it's right where you are. I need to find out. Okay. Yeah, it may be 14 here in Knoxville, but it may not be that number some other place in another town. That's the problem you have, too. Yes? It's 15 at your house. Now, you sure you don't have us mixed up with Sevierville? WVLR in Sevierville is 15 at my house, and Living Faith is 14 at my house. Abingdon, Virginia. It's 15 at your house? Yes. Bingham, Brother Bingham. Well, now he's on two or three channels. I don't know. Yeah. I think he's on 14. I think he's on in Abingdon. But I think he may be on also in Sevierville. And he's on more than one station. I know that. Okay. Yes, sir. Living Faith is 51 at your house? You've got Dish. Okay, well, that's different altogether. But you can still get it. With Dish, that's good to know. That's good to know. You've got more on that than they have in this local cable here in Knoxville.
Oh, yeah.
With Dish. All right. Y'all pray about it. That's what I gotta deal with the next few days. We come on 10 o'clock. Living Faith, wherever you have it. It's on 14 out in Halls, where I am. He says it's on 15 where he is, in East Knoxville, East Town. And he's got it on 51 on Dish Network.
A lot of Knoxville broadcasts
Are they? See, that's a problem. You just have to find out where it is on your local cable provider. You have to find out their schedule and their, you know, where it is. Yeah, right. But it'd be the same thing with Fox on Channel 11. Fox may be 11 here, but it may be 16 or 17 in Trenton or somewhere. You know, I don't know what it is, but it could be. That's the problem with cable. Pardon?
I get Fox on 43.
All right, now that's Fox 43. But see, there's two branches of Fox. This is Fox on Channel 11. This is Fox cable. What is it? What's it called? The station, the network on 43 on 11. It's probably the same people, Fox, but it's the. That's right. You're right on that. 43 is the call letters. If you have an antenna, that's how you pick it up with 43. All right. Is everybody thoroughly confused? That's all right. I know you're not trying to confuse anybody. Just bring out the simple fact that you just have to find it wherever you are. Yes, ma'am. You just brought up a very good idea. And that is that in the bulletin, she can find out as many of the area numbers where you say, if you're in Clinton, it's at this number. If you're over here at East Town, it's this number and what have you. That might help people. Yeah. Fifty-one is what our brother over there said. And I don't know what's the other one. Dish network. It's not Dish. The other one is Direct. Direct TV. Does anybody have Direct?
We're on 44 on Direct.
44 on Direct. Okay, it's 44 Direct, 51 Dish, and then you have to find the rest of it. All right.
Looking on rabbit ears tonight, Pastor.
Rabbit ears?
Rabbit ears tonight. Listen, maybe it's 14. I don't know.
Those old preachers back in the 50s when they first brought television into Knoxville, they had these big antennas coming out of the house. Remember them? We used to have one. Huge antennas. They said you can always tell a devil's crowd his horns are sticking up. That's what they said. Oh, Lord. If they could only see what's on there now. It was mild back in the 50s. That was nothing compared to what's on there now.
Amen.
All right, well, I'm done. I gave you the burden I've got tonight. We've got to do something. So I just pray God opens the door here and shows me something. We got to do something. Pray that this survey will show me what we need to know. We can make a decision based on some informed knowledge. Amen. All right. Well, I'm finished. Done. Washed up. Over. You ready to go home? Oh, you mean going home? Yeah. Well, he's going to come for you when you least expect him. Yes, sir.